Welcome to our study of John chapter 5 here on the Radio Bible Course. In this chapter, Jesus has made one of the strongest claims for being deity. He tells us that he was equal with God, and the Jews understood that. It was not misunderstood, for they wanted to stone him, not only, they said, because he broke the Sabbath, but also because he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And instead of backing down on that claim, Jesus reinforces it, beginning with verse 19. But we have discussed that. However, those are interesting and strong passages about how Jesus claimed to be able to do what the Father did. He ended that little discussion with John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Now the section we were discussing last week begins with verse 25, and I want to read that again to bring you up to date. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. This passage has given people a hard time, especially evangelical Christians who believe that we are not saved by being good, but we are saved through faith by the grace of God. And of course that is true. But doesn't verse 29 give you a problem? Jesus said, those who have done good will be raised to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. There are many people today who say people do go to heaven if they are good, and bad people go to hell. And many of us were taught this as children. Therefore, that becoming good was reinforced by instructing us to keep the Ten Commandments. And implied was this: if you keep the Ten Commandments, you might get to heaven. There was never any assurance of that, however, and it was misleading, and it was confusing and threatening. If the context concerns how to be saved, this verse indeed would be a problem, because it would contradict what Jesus said in other places, not only in this chapter, but in the previous chapters. Here we have an excellent example of the importance of a law of interpretation. We call it the law of context. That means that a person must read the context and consider what is being discussed, and then conclude what the meaning is according to the context. Anyone who ignores the context cannot understand a passage of Scripture. Jesus told the Jews in John 5:24 how to get eternal life. But in this context, beginning with verse 25, and it's a different context, his subject is the resurrection with the results of life or judgment. So here he is not talking about how to get eternal life. Verse 29 instead describes the people in each of those two groups. He tells us that the life people are good, the judgment people are evil, and this is in keeping with the only commandment which Jesus gave to the church. And what is that? John expresses it quite well and succinctly in 1 John 3, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he commanded us. What resulting conduct would you expect from those who believe and love one another? Goodness, of course. John in his third epistle elaborates on this. 3 John, verse 11, Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. John was writing to Christians. They could imitate evil, but he doesn't want them to. And John wrote, He who does good is of God. He who is of evil has not seen God. Now what is Jesus doing when he speaks in John chapter 5, verse 29? He is following a common manner of speaking by using one word to characterize each group of people. Those two groups are the life people and the judgment people. In chapter 3 of this gospel, John characterized everybody as being in the light or being in the darkness. And there he said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So, one word is used there for a whole group of words. Jesus, we might say here in verse 29, was describing the general conduct of the people in each group. Each group of resurrected men and women. The word judgment is always used in connection with works. And eternal life is always based on grace. So he here is not giving conditions for getting life or judgment. Instead, he is describing the conduct of the people in each of those groups. In this generation, more than in the previous generation, people question the fact of a resurrection and judgment. We live in an age where every kind of misbehavior, while not openly approved, is not condemned. We tend to say, everybody is doing it, and it's all right. We're not living in the past. We're not in the Victorian era anymore. And these things that used to be wrong are now okay. People want to believe that God loves us and wants to save every one of His creatures. And if we talk about eternal judgment for unbelievers, some people consider us as unloving and cruel. They say, you ought to be like Jesus. He loved everybody. Don't talk about judgment and hell and condemnation. But friends, may I say, Jesus did. Whether men believe in life after death, whether they believe in judgment and hell, Jesus did. And the passages we have studied here tell us these things. There is going to be a resurrection, and more than one resurrection. There is life after death. There will be a resurrection for judgment for unbelievers, and the result will be eternal separation from God forever. Now that's not pleasant, but Jesus taught it. And if we are going to be faithful to His word, we must teach it and uphold it. These passages teach us that there is more than life here on earth. It teaches that men are responsible to their Creator. And it teaches us that the believer should be waiting for life with Christ, which is far better than our present life here on the earth. But do not forget this which Jesus taught. There will be a resurrection of the dead, and there will be life after death. Now we want to move on to verse 30, where Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own authority. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. If I bear witness to myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness to me, and I know that the testimony which he bears to me is true. In the previous verses in this chapter, Jesus had explained how the dead would be raised, and he distinguished those two groups of people. Some would be resurrected for life and the other for judgment. And he also claimed that he, not the Father, would be their judge. Now here in verse 30, he insists that his judgment is just for this reason. His judgment will be according to God's standard, and it will be objective. Now, what can pervert judgment among men? When you and I judge someone, what is the problem? First of all, we might be prejudiced. We might be jealous. There might be pride in us that causes us to judge a person in a way that is unfair. Then, too, we are troubled, and I say this about all of us, with intolerance, ignorance, and sometimes anger. Well, if a judge is angry at a defendant, what can you expect to get out of him in the way of a verdict? Jesus had none of these deficiencies. So, in our dealings with people, we judge according to the appearance of things, but Jesus did not. He said, "I judge not according to appearance, but I judge righteous judgment." In other words, he, when he judges, looks into the heart of man, and he has all the facts, which we never do. Divine judgment must be righteous. A divine judge must be able to judge righteously, and to do so requires perfect insight and also a perfect standard of righteousness. After all, there are laws today which may not be just, and in some countries, they are very unjust. But when Jesus judges, it will be according to God's righteous standard. Rest assured, friends, in the coming judgment, there will be righteous judgment. People will get what is coming to them. In verse 30, Jesus said he can do nothing on his own authority. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In the following verses, Jesus silences his opponents by arguing according to Jewish rules of evidence concerning the truth. Notice, "If I bear witness to myself, my testimony is not true." That's a difficult verse when you look at it on the surface, and you might say, look, Jesus could never say anything that was not true. What does he mean here? Perhaps some background will be of help to you. Look at, first of all, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6. And I'm quoting, "On the evidence of two witnesses, or three witnesses, he that is to die shall be put to death. A person shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness." Now, this statement is what molded Jewish thinking, and it even came over into the New Testament. I want to discuss that in our program tomorrow, and I hope you'll join me here. Someday you may encounter a person who expects to get to heaven because he has strong faith. He has faith in his faith. Please advise such a person that having faith in strong faith cannot save him. Help such people to understand that faith must have an object, and in addition, it must be the right object. Our booklet entitled Heaven's Password tells what the Bible repeatedly emphasizes as the only correct object of faith. Write for your free copy to the Radio Bible Course. Ask for Heaven's Password. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.